Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
I got the power. The story is told of Brian, a representative of a reputable and highly famous business organization, who after a long day's work got home and decided to go to bed early, aware that his next day's appointment was out of town. Before he got to bed, as was his habit, Brian switched off his cell phone, plugged it into the extension cord which was plugged to the main power outlet on the wall of his bedroom. He then proceeded to set his alarm clock so that it could wake him earlier than usual, because the trip which he had was at least 2 hours drive. Having done that, Brian switched off the lights and got to his bed, and soon he was fast asleep, only to be awoken by the snoozing sound of the alarm clock. Brian realized it was time to get up, get ready for his appointment, aware that he had a 2-hour drive. He prepared himself, picked his briefcase and phone, got in his car, punched in the address of his appointment venue on the GPS, and was soon headed to his destination. Along the way, Brian decided to switch on his phone, and to his surprise, there was a beep, and when he looked at the display of the phone, it read, "Low battery, please recharge." Brian wondered, how could my phone have no power despite being connected to the source of power the entire night? Choosing not to let this disappointment get between him and the events of his day, because it was pretty early, Brian figured out that the wisest thing to do was to make the best of his current situation. So he switched off his phone so that he could save the power and decided to only turn it on if an emergency happened to him on the way or once he got close enough to his appointment venue. Now listen to me, good church. All went as planned, and with less than 15 miles to his destination, he saw a sign reading, "Road closed. Please follow the detour." Following this detour resulted in Brian getting caught up in the early morning rush of the city, and he ended up arriving late for his appointment. On arrival, he went straight to the office, and on introducing himself and stating the purpose of why he was there, he was informed that, "Brian, you are late. Your appointment has been cancelled." "Oh no," Brian said. "Please understand. I came all this way. Please understand. We tried reaching you," was the response from the secretary, "but your phone was off. We left you voicemails, but your phone was off." Brian tried and said, "Is there anybody else who I could speak to?" The secretary said, "No, I'm just communicating to you the decision of my superiors." Brian felt dejected. With his head hanging down, Brian left the office, walked across to a nearby restaurant just to try and recollect himself and absorb the disappointment. As he sat down and ordered hot chocolate, he picked out his phone, opened his briefcase, took out the charger, and plugged it to the wall nearby. And the phone started charging. As the phone was charging, Brian turned it on, and there were two icons on the display. When Brian looked at them, he saw there were voicemails. Brian dialed the voicemail retrieval number, and the first voicemail was from his head office, advising him to take an alternative route which would have resulted in avoiding the jam and would have made Brian arrive at his destination well ahead of time. Brian deleted that voicemail. He then chose to listen to the second voicemail. The second voicemail was from this appointment office venue telling him that they were aware that there was a road closure, and they were giving him directions to follow an alternative route. Brian looked at it, deleted the message. And the last message was a text message giving him the driving instructions to avoid the traffic jam. Brian missed all this because his phone was off because of lack of power. What is the moral of this story, saints? Glad you asked. The phone, which was Brian's communication gadget, lacked power not because it wasn't near the source of power, but because it was not powering up. It is important to note that the phone was in good order. The phone had no problem, but the problem is it was not powering up. Brian figured out that the reason why the phone was not charging up was because he had connected it to the extension cord. And the extension cord itself was not the problem, but the loose connection of the charger to the extension cord was the problem. So is it with us, saints? We lack the power not because we are away from the source of all power, that is God, who is omnipotent, all-powerful, omniscient, all-knowing, and omnipresent, present everywhere, anywhere, all the time. But the reason why we lack the power is because of that loose connection to God. Saints, as a result of that loose connection, we have adopted Brian's wisdom, which is switch off our communication line to God and only turn it on during emergencies. I'm talking about prayer. Our prayer lives have been reduced, have been eliminated, have been sidelined to options only during emergencies. Instead of prayer being your first resource, prayer has become your last resort. So what happens is, when you have an impending foreclosure on your home, is when now you turn to God. When you go to the hospital and the checks don't look good, the tests don't look good, the MRI scans don't look good, you now then turn to God. Or when, saints, or when the bills, when the outflow is more than the inflow and the upkeep is now a problem, then now we turn to God. Worse enough, we switched off our prayer lives and only choose to pray to God when the Sabbath is approaching, or worse still, when our sunset years are approaching. This, as a result, has made our churches become powerless, because without power amongst the members, the worship is powerless. There is no presence of the Spirit, and there is no presence of the Lord. But I got a message for you today. John 15 verse 5 tells us that, abide, I am the vine, that is Jesus Christ. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, that is Jesus Christ, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. What I'm saying is this. You see, if Brian had been in communication, had he had his communication line open, had he been connected, Brian would have gotten the message from the high office, which would have warned him that what you are doing, your plans are going to lead you to a road end. You're going to meet a road closure. What was required was for Brian to have been in communication with the high office. As Isaiah 55 verse 8 to 9 says, my ways are not your ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than you. Saints, when we are abiding, when we are connected to God, the Lord will lead us not on the broad path, but on the narrow way, saints. Saints, when we are with God, when we are abiding in God, he communicates with us. It's no longer my will, but his will, which is being manifested in my life. He walks with me. He talks with me along life's narrow way. And saints, who doesn't know that when Christ is abiding in you and you abiding in Christ, you not only bear much fruit, but the fruit is made manifest in all that you do. I tell you, saints, when you have Christ, your walk, your talk, your lifestyle, Hallelujah. I'm getting excited. Just show who you are. You may be approaching a group of people who are full of hatred. But because you are connected to Christ, all that flows out of you is love. You may be approaching people who are just unpleasant. But saints, because you have the fruit of the Holy Spirit, joy. Wow. They look at you and say, what's wrong with this brother, man? We all got pink slips. How come you're excited? It's not about me. It's about who is in me. Am I talking to somebody today? In the similar way, you may be approaching people who are facing wars or are terrified by the rumors of wars. But yours is the abundant source of peace. I tell you, it's about who is in you. And whoever who is in you is he who you abide to. Once you abide to Christ, saints, things are not like people tend to think. It's about how Christ is using you to fulfill his will. When I checked about the word abide, I looked in the Greek dictionary. It's called parameno. Those are two words, para and meno. Para stands for from close alongside. And meno means remain. So combining para and meno means remain close beside. During my younger days, we had a soccer drill. And during the training session, we had what we call man-to-man marking. Now, man-to-man marking involved you marking the opponent such that he will not receive the pass, will not receive the ball to him. So, using the parameno definition, remain close beside, you had to be with him just like this. Wherever he went, you were with him. If he chose to kneel down, you also knelt with him. If he chose to scratch his head, you also chose to scratch your head. In other words, you had to remain close beside him. Bringing it to the scripture reading, when you are parameno to Christ, when you are abiding in Christ, whatever Christ did, the Christ-like character is what should be reflected in you. You see, church, I've come to realize that when you are with Christ, it's not about those around you and what they be doing. It's about what Christ did, and he is your role model. Amen? So my message to you today, saints, is that Jesus is on the main line. Tell him what you want. Call him up. Tell him what you want. I always draw great inspiration from those who've always stuck to Jesus Christ. What am I talking about? I'm talking about Christ's disciples. Peter and John in Acts 3, they were on their way to the temple, the ninth hour. And at the gate of the temple, there was this lame man who lay there, not for the purposes of worshiping, but for the purposes of collecting alms. And looking at Peter and John, expecting them to give him some silver and gold, Peter never had that. But what he did is, gave him this message. Silver and gold have I none. Trust have I is in thy faith. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. He reached out his hand and raised him up. And immediately, the Bible tells us, strength came to the ankles and the feet. Reminds me of the old story, dry bones. The toe bone connected to the foot bone. The foot bone connected to the ankle bone. The ankle bone connected to the leg bone. The leg bone connected to the knee bone. And so on and so on. But the reason why that man got strength was because Peter was connected to Jesus. When you are connected with Jesus, saints, and I'm not talking about loose connection, I'm talking about abiding. When you are connected to Jesus, saints, Jesus now is working through you to fulfill the purposes which he wants fulfilled in the world which his Father created, saints. What I'm talking about is the man God's strength in his feet and was able to rise up and walk. And not only did he walk, he walked and leaped and followed Peter and John into the temple. The Great Commission tells us, go ye unto the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Peter and John never ministered to this man. Peter and John never gave him what he asked for. Peter and John let God, who was dwelling in them, use them to lead this brother into the temple. Sometimes you don't need to give Bible study sense. Sometimes you don't need to pass glow tracts. Sometimes you don't even need to knock and distribute Ellen G. White's books. No. The Christ who is in us should be enough manifestation and a reflection to the world so that the world will know there's something different with Brother Vincent. There's something different with Brother Mwemba. There's something different with Aiden. There's something different with Aaron. That only can happen if we let Christ dwell in us. Another example which gives me a lot of encouragement is the example of Job. We are told that there was a man in the land of Uz who was fearless and blameless, one who shunned evil. His name was Job. Job was connected to God to the extent that when God was conversing with Satan, he asked him, have you considered my servant Job? Of all the billions of resumes in God's hand, God picked out Job's resume. And we know what Job went through. Job went trials and tribulations. Job almost lost his life. And what his spouse told him was, curse God and die. But Job's response was, you speak like the foolish women. You gotta check your connections, couples. You may be connected to your spouse, but Jesus Christ did not come to save the couple. Jesus Christ came to save you as an individual. Unplug from the extension cord and plug into the main line, Jesus. And we know what happened to Job. Job, despite his tribulations, Job 13 verse 15 tells us, Job went on to remain faithful, and what he said was, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. That's the faith, saints. That's what I call abiding, the parameno, abiding in God, saints. And we know that what happened. At the end of it, Job was blessed, his health was restored. All those who criticized him and told him, hey, you either have committed a sin, Eliphaz, you need to do something. God instructed them to go to Job and offer sacrifice. Job accepted the apologies through the sacrifice, and Job was not only restored fully to health, but his wealth, which he had lost, was more than multiplied. I call about abiding in Christ. There's the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were in captivity in a foreign land. But I like what they answered. O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. And we know what happened. When they were cast into the fiery furnace, all that the flame did was to burn out what bound them. When you are connected to God, nothing can come on your way. God will use your enemies as your footstool. He'll use your haters as your elevators. Till when you're seated, your enemies will be your footstool. Do I have a witness in the house? Saints, my story is not complete if I do not give an example of Joseph. Joseph was connected to God. Not that he was not raised in a Christian family, because the nation of Israel came from Jacob, his father. Joseph was hated by his brothers because of his connection to God. Beware who you are with in the house of God. A brother may be saying happy Sabbath to you, but he's waiting for the opportunity for you to turn around and backstab you. It's getting quiet now in the house, but I'll continue anyhow. Joseph remained faithful to God. But how many of us realize that God can even use misfortunes to bring your dream to fruition? I'm talking about abiding with Christ. You can be sold into slavery. You can be thrown into the pit. But God has a plan for you. From the pit, he was taken to Potiphar's house. But the temptations of Miss Potiphar landed Joseph into the prison. But God was still with Joseph. Joseph never looked down upon anybody. Abiding with Christ, he was even concerned about the two prisoners, the butler and the baker. And in interpreting their dream, that was the elevation to the palace. Sometimes our enemies may be the key to fulfilling what God's will is in your life. But you cannot realize that till you are connected with God, saints. We serve a most high God. His ways are not our ways. Hallelujah. Today, my message, remain in Christ. 2014 is behind us, church. Let's remain reunited as a church. Family differences and wanting to use the church office to settle differences is not God's will. You are not abiding in Christ, saints. We need to move forward. As a church, we need to reflect what Christ was. It's time you checked whether even the church itself is connected to the main line. In John's letter to the seven churches in Asia, he starts by saying, Ephesus, the loveless church. How can a church which worships God be loveless, the first fruit of the Holy Spirit? He goes further to talk about Smyrna, the compromising church. He goes further to talk about Thyatira, the corrupt church. Saints, it's about connecting to the main God. The church may be going down, but I have a message for you. Jesus Christ came to save you, a sinner, not the corporate body, the church. You need to stand out and swim against popular tide of praise and serve the Most High God. Amen? In conclusion, there are some indicators which can make you know that you are loosely connected to Christ. And the first indicator, saints, is knowing who you are. Develop your own identity. As I have always said, I was born a Seventh-day Adventist, raised a Seventh-day Adventist, baptized a Seventh-day Adventist. My parents are Seventh-day Adventists. But saints, all that chain is just an extension cord. You need to have your own identity as a Christian. You need to plug out from that extended cord, the family line, and plug in directly to Jesus Christ. Then and only then will you have the power. Some of the extension cords which we are experiencing is too many church activities at the expense of achievements. You see, when all I do is just come to church, and at the end of the year, 2014, when I did my own review, evangelical review, you know, once you're an evangelist, you've got to see what you've been doing, right? I realized in the year 2014, I won no soul for Jesus Christ. 52 Sabbaths, I was in church. But I won no soul for Christ. Where did I go wrong? I realized I need to check on my connection. I need to check whether I'm being powered up. Saints, there is power in the blood. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry all our burdens to Christ, saints. You cannot carry all your burdens to somebody whom you don't believe. The connection here is about belief. And that's why in John 3 verse 16, which was recited from your memory banks, says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever individual Whosoever believes, that's the connection, believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. That's the power. The power comes when you believe in Jesus Christ. The power comes when you are abiding in Jesus Christ. You cannot abide in someone whom you don't believe in. And once you are abiding in Jesus Christ, you got the power. I have a call to make today. As I close, the year has just started, 2015. 2014 is behind us. It's time to check your connections. Are you connected to your spouse? And then in turn connected to the main power? Check out on that extension. Are you connected to the church, which in turn is connected to the main power? Check out that connection. Are you yourself in the first place connected to anybody? You see, sometimes we've even chosen to switch off the phone, switch off, and even don't even bother to power it up. Saints, the connection comes through prayer. No prayer, no power. Less prayer, less power. More prayer, more power. The more I am abiding in Christ, the Son of God, who's the source of all power, the more my life is a prayer life, prayer-filled life, saints. We need Jesus any moment. Walk with me, Lord. Walk with me. But the Lord cannot walk with you unless you let him walk with you, saints. That is my message for you today. And as the closing song, if you have your hymnals, you can just open it. Says, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him by his word. Amen. The connection comes when you are connected to the source of power. Jesus, precious Jesus. May the Lord bless you.
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you are a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.